Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, during the season of Lent, we often reflect on some of the words that Jesus spoke while he was on the cross. Words of mercy, like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Words expressing Jesus' agony as he suffered in our place. My God, why have you forsaken me? His words announcing that our redemption has been accomplished. It is finished. There is much that we can learn from those words from Jesus, and much comfort to be found in those words. This evening, though, I'd like to focus especially on some other words that were spoken that day. Some of the words that were spoken to Jesus while he was on the cross. As we'll hear shortly in our passion reading from Mark, while Jesus was on the cross, the chief priests with the scribes mocked him, saying, he saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe. For about 3 years, these men had been standing in opposition to Jesus. When Jesus had told a man that his sins were forgiven, the scribes had complained that Jesus had no authority to forgive sin. When Jesus had reached out in mercy and associated with outcasts, people who were rejected or neglected by much of society, the scribes had complained that it was wrong for Jesus to be eating with tax collectors and sinners. When Jesus had healed a man on the Sabbath, the scribes had been so angered that they began plotting how to get rid of him. And so on Good Friday, having seemingly found a way to at last get rid of Jesus, the chief priests and scribes mocked him. In the words of the hymn that we just sang, they laughed and scorned him while he died. Yet as we take some time to reflect on what they said, we'll find that the words that they meant in mockery can actually help lead us into a greater appreciation for Jesus and what he was doing for us that day on the cross. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. But what they missed is that Jesus had specifically chosen not to save himself so that he could, in fact, save others, including you and me. Jesus really could have spared himself the pain of the cross. We read in the 26th chapter of Matthew that when Peter drew his sword and tried to prevent Jesus' arrest, Jesus had said, "Put your sword back into its place. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must be so?" And in the 10th chapter of John, Jesus said, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." Jesus could have saved himself. But how then would we be saved? Jesus suffered and died on Good Friday, not because he couldn't save himself, but because he so loved us that he freely chose not to save himself, so that he could instead save us. He chose to bear on the cross the judgment for all of our sins so that we could be set free. He chose to suffer and die in our place so that we can instead have life and have it abundantly. He chose, just as Isaiah had prophesied, to let himself be pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, so that by his wounds we would be healed. On Good Friday, Jesus' opponents continued to mock him by saying, "Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." But in fact, it is precisely because Jesus would not come down from the cross that he is worth believing in. For the true greatness of this true King is seen in his willingness to suffer under a crown of thorns for us, his people. As there on the cross, Jesus showed himself to be a king who would die to save his people, a good shepherd who would lay down his life for the sheep. So the true greatness of Jesus is seen precisely in the fact that he would not do what his opponents mockingly challenged him to do. He would not leave the cross because he would not abandon us. At times it can be easy to think or to say, if only God would do this or do that, then it would be so much easier to trust in him. Probably all of us have thought along those lines at one time or another. Especially in such times, turn your eyes to the cross and fix your eyes on Jesus. See him willingly giving up everything entirely out of his love for you. See him willingly suffering the agony of the cross, all to pay for your sins, so that you wouldn't need to fear judgment, but could instead live in the peace of knowing you are forgiven. Look to the cross and see Jesus willingly dying for you, so that you can have a life that will never end. Look to the cross and see that it was not the nails, but his love for you that held Jesus to the cross. And you will see that he is surely a Savior you can trust in. For the Savior who willingly chose to be there for you on the cross will surely be there for you and with you in all circumstances, even to the end of the age. I'd like to conclude my thoughts this evening by turning briefly to some other words that were also spoken by someone standing under the cross of Jesus that Friday. Words that this time we can wholeheartedly agree with. In the 15th chapter of Mark, we read, "When the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his last cry and saw how he died, he said, 'Surely, this man was the Son of God.'" And to that, what more can we say but amen. All glory, honor, and praise be to Christ crucified, the Son of God, our Savior, now and forevermore. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We now join our hearts and our minds in prayer using the responsive prayer for Good Friday printed in your worship folder. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ,
our Redeemer and Friend,
though you are in very nature God,
you did not consider equality with God something to be used for your own advantage,
but you made yourself nothing,
taking the very nature of a servant,
and being found in appearance as a man, you humbled yourself,
and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross.
You came to us not to be served, but to serve,
and to give your life as a ransom for many.
In your wounds and in your death,
let us be reminded that all sin is
in your cross and passion.
Let us marvel at the depth of your love for us.
For though we put our hands to idle and self-serving use,
you bear in your hands the imprints of your love for us.
Though our feet wandered from your ways,
your feet bear the marks of your love for us.
Though our tongues speak words that hurt,
from your cross you pray for our forgiveness.
Though our sins caused your death,
you gave yourself into death that we might have life.
For your incarnation,
we praise you.
For your perfect holy life,
we magnify your holy name.
For your innocent suffering and death,
we worship you.
Trusting in your righteousness,
let us find healing in your wounds.
And by the light of your cross,
lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
You may be seated. We now remember the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ in the words of Scripture and song. From the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 14th chapter. While Jesus was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard." And when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and he kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." And they all left him and fled. And a young man followed him with nothing but a linen cloth about his body. And they seized him, but he left the linen cloth and ran away naked.
Thank you.
And they led Jesus to the high priest. And all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. And Peter had followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands.' Yet even about this, their testimony did not agree." And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But he remained silent and made no answer. And the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his garments and said, "What further witnesses do we need? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" And they all condemned him as deserving death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to strike him, saying to him, "Prophesy." And the guards received him with blows. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with the Nazarene, Jesus." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you mean." And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girls saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again, he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And he broke down and wept.
Thank you.
And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison, who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up a crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they were striking his head with a reed, and spitting on him, and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. And they led him out to crucify him.
Thank you.
And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Please rise in commemoration of the death of our Lord. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the younger and of Joseph, and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him, and there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock, and he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb.
By your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.